Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
I hope she never listens to this, babe. This is not okay. None of this would be okay.
You said she does listen to this.
I know. She's
podcast.
A huge fan of the pod. Just block her from this episode.
Just skip it.
I'm ducking out. You're ducking out. Let's duck out together. See what it's all about.
Ducking out. Ducking out. Ducking out. Ducking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that is hanging on by a rainbow-colored thread. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're dyking out with comedian Flora Mannin.
Hi!
Hi, Flora.
Hi, Flora.
Okay, before we let you talk anymore, we have a couple of announcements. My queer dating show, Loves a Pitch, is coming back June 23rd. It's going to be at Come On Everybody this time. Maker's Mark is sponsoring it. Flora, do you have any hot single friends that should apply?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yes! Oh my God, I do.
I just looked at your Instagram and it looks like, I don't know about the single part, but you have a lot of hot friends.
A lot of hotties.
Well, you know, everyone under 25 is poly, so it doesn't really count.
Well, if you want to see one of Flora's hot friends on stage, we're changing this promo right now. Come out June 23rd. You can get tickets. Go to the Come On Everybody website. It'll be listed there. Also, speaking of Maker's Mark, they're sponsoring a very silly and fun party for us July 2nd at Good Judy in Brooklyn. We're going to be having a Lilith Fair karaoke party.
Why would you call it silly? Because we're taking it very seriously.
We are taking it. You're right. Yeah.
As far as outfits go, Carolyn and I are doing a couple's costume.
Yes. Yes. Melody's fighting me.
Yes. Every step of the way.
Yeah. But we're doing it.
We're doing it. We encourage everyone to show up in your best Lilith Fair outfit, whether that be a performer, a concert goer.
Yes. If you haven't yet, stop shaving your armpits now. You have you have most of June to get that armpit hair flowing.
It's just going to be a party.
Yeah.
Karaoke upstairs, party downstairs, party all through and through, actually. I'm excited.
We'll have more information coming up on that. I'm so excited for that. Melody, what are you plugging?
I'm going to be in Chicago. Allie and I are doing Pride shows. Allie's headlining. I am tagging along to feature and open for her at the Comedy Bar. Shows are on the 17th and the 18th. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. I believe on our episode with Honey Pluton, I said the 19th. I was wrong. So this is just in case you listened to that and maybe skipped last week's and didn't hear the amended
date. You're speaking
dates
to one very specific person.
Yeah, and it's Allie who's mad at me for that. So I'll be in Chicago at the Comedy Bar, and maybe I'll add some more shows. I'm really just excited to be in Chicago in the summer It's bliss. It's heaven on earth. I just want to go to a street festival. I want to eat fried things. I just want to be in Chicago. So
bottomless spaghetti.
Yeah. Windy City Inn, may it rest in peace. If you listen to our episode with Sammy Junio, I talked about a dive bar I used to go to in college that had $5 all you can eat bottomless spaghetti.
You got to find a new spot.
And I encourage any Chicago bar owners listening to implement that.
Bring it back right now. We'll boil the water for you. Also, subscribe to our Patreon if you haven't already. An extra episode every week and other goodies. That's patreon.com/jackingout. This week, I'll be talking about all the behind the scenes stuff from Girls in Wonderland, which is a lot. So speaking of Girls in Wonderland,
let's get to it.
Need to ask.
Yeah, I don't. But Carolyn. Oh, I saw your Instagram stories and I know we're just scratching at the surface. What's the gayest thing you did this week?
I only posted like a tiny bit. Celia's going to make a compilation video of everything because I was like doing well. And then all of a sudden it became overwhelmed with the partying very fast. Flora, do you know about Girls in Wonderland?
I saw your Instagram.
Okay. Yes. I mean, all of our listeners should know about Girls in Wonderland right now. It's like a 4-day amazing sapphic party in Orlando. This is my second time going. Second time I had just as much fun as the first time. It was great. It was amazing. Yes, I saw all the Tampa Bays, minus three of them. Oh. Minus three of them. But got
did
to
you watch?
I watched some of it. And honestly, what about New York Bays? I feel like we
That's what we've been saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all
Brooklyn
I'm gonna
Bays.
Say. Brooklyn Bays.
Come on.
We got so many cats.
I need to hydrate just thinking about Girls in Wonderland.
Did you hydrate down there? Come on.
In Florida?
I hydrated and I'm still hydrating to recover. You know, this year I told, friend of the pod, Maya, who photographs Girls in Wonderland, who's part of the reason I went there in the first place and found out about it. The first day she's like, what's your plan? And I said, not to get wasted. All right. I'm going to be making healthy choices. By healthy choices on day three, I guess it would have been which is day two of the pool party, I got a Panera salad for breakfast and I only ate like half the salad.
What?
Very bold.
I know.
I get so frustrated with Carolyn. She does this all the time. We have our Stonewall show and she'll show up. We know we get to eat, drink for free. Usually we take advantage of that. And then she'll be like, I only had a power bar today. What are you doing?
Skinny bitch.
I'm very... I don't know. I was thinking like I should be getting like nutrients. I should be having like vegetables and whatnot. So I got this Panera salad, but like salads are such a chore for me to eat. It takes me forever to get through and I just want to get to the pool party. So I ate like half of it. I went and
ate the whole salad, not enough.
It's not enough. Carbs. I blacked out.
No carbs.
Pool. That's I did have a Girls in Wonderland miracle. Last year I had one. This year I had one again. My prescription sunglasses fell off. My like nice Ray-Bans fell off in the pool. Immediately I noticed, but I was looking for them. They weren't anywhere. I'm like, where the hell? There's like 5,000 people at this pool party. It's a huge pool. And I'm like looking and started like, as far as I can recollect, started making out with someone and I'm like, I'm looking for my sunglasses. And they're like, my friend found a pair. It was my sunglasses, you guys.
Wow. It was the romance, the love. The
I made
connection.
Out with the right person in the pool. It was so fun. Met up with friends from last year. Solidified a friendship with somebody I met outside of Girls in Wonderland last year. Shout out to Sabrina, who's just like such an awesome person and was so much fun to hang out with Sabrina and just, it was fun. It was great seeing the Bays. It was great meeting Shiva in person. Shiva is a gem. Everyone was great. You know, the drama's still there. I still want a season 2. We'll see. I want more from the Bays.
That's all right. Well, I'm looking forward to our Patreon episode because clearly you're just like, my prescription sunglasses.
I also like
sugarcoating. I'm sugarcoating.
You're like making out with someone like, this is me looking for my glasses. Yeah. Like, you're looking really hard. I can't find my glasses. Is that a
I can't
tip?
Wait to see what else happened.
All right. Yeah. You know, a lot of dancing. Cecilia and I had so much fun. We danced a lot. We met a lot of listeners. Shout out to all the listeners that I met. You are all the sweetest, the nicest, the hottest. Like, everyone's great. I love you all.
Love.
Girls in Wonderland Beach. They're doing a beach party event. Pandora Events is putting it on for the first time. Follow Pandora Events. It's October 7th through 9th. And I can't wait to see what they do. They know how to throw on not only a good party, good parties multiple days long. It's seriously the most fun I have all year. So that's it. Melody?
That's it. I love how you're presenting this event as if our listeners, it's new information, because I believe you talked about it the last three episodes.
You know, we might have new listeners
from the event.
From the event.
So right. They know, but I'm yanking your chain, okay? Because I had a wildly different weekend. I visited my parents while you were doing that. But before that, my gayest thing, pretty gay, I'll say. I went to Stonewall Inn just, 2 days after our show on Memorial Day.
You somehow managed to give me FOMO while I was in Orlando for Girls in Wonderland. I was like, oh man, I can't believe I'm missing this in New York.
Yeah, it was, I felt like very honored to be invited because it was invite only, right? Stacey Lentz,
I didn't
co-owner.
Get invited.
Yeah, you'll be my plus
we'll
one.
Take it up with the manager
next year. They have their annual Pride kickoff, and it's this open bar, performances galore, speakers galore, very fun, very gay, very celesbian heavy
love
night at Stonewall. Fletcher played. So right off the bat, I feel like I've experienced Fletcher through lots of TikToks, lesbian TikToks. I kissed a girl.
Yeah.
You know,
my intro was Girls in Wonderland last year.
Really?
Like, I mean, like everybody there was obsessed with Fletcher.
Oh.
Yeah. And they played the I Kissed a Girl like over and over.
Incredible live performer. Really, really good.
Yes.
I'm a big fan. I'm a convert. I understand. I really want to catch a live show where it's more than, you know, a few songs. I think she did four songs or was supposed to do four songs. I did one more. It was a very good show. We had some lesbian soccer players in the house. Ashlyn Harris, Ellie Krager. Okay.
I saw the picture. I saw the picture and Melody. Now I know why you did not recognize them and
why you
thought that they were just influencers.
Oh, yeah.
Generic influencers.
I hope this doesn't. Why would this get back to them? I saw them.
It will.
Yeah. I did not investigate further. I was sitting right by them and I was like, who are these, you know, TikTokers? Like, I really thought they were just influencers because you can look up the outfits on Stonewall or Stonewall Gives Instagram. Like, Ashlyn Harris is wearing a huge cowboy hat and like these big Kim Kardashian sunglasses indoors.
A vibe.
I had no idea that this was someone I look up to and have followed for years, sitting right by me. Like, I felt like such an idiot when I got home, and it wasn't just her. There were like three or four other, I mean, we're friends with Lindsay Bowling, a big soccer dyke. She was very angry with me when she saw who was there and who I could have anything. If I could have understood, you know, but shout out to Stacey Lentz and the whole team at Stonewall. I'm so honored to have been included, and it was so much fun. That's gotta be it.
It's pretty gay.
Also, past guest Amber Hikes.
Why didn't I mention that immediately? She walked in. I had no idea she would be speaking giving kind of like the keynote speech at the beginning. And
I would have fainted.
I heard her name and I eavesdropped on a conversation to see why they were talking about her. And everyone's like, no, she's on her way. She's on her way. And I got so excited. I planted myself by the door so I could see her come in. I did talk to her right before. It was so good to see her in a suit. Rocks a suit, the best in the game. She's
sweating.
So cool, so palms. Smart. Yeah, she's so hot. Beautiful night.
Gorge.
Beautiful
so
night.
Gorge.
She's so hot. Okay. Let's move on, because I'm sweating. Flora, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
I mean, I've done so many gay things this week. One, just now, my 25-year-old girlfriend having to explain me how to use this mic that we're using now.
Yes.
And me spraying my expensive perfume to do this podcast is also.
Wait, do you mind giving an age range?
I'm early 30. I'm 31. I'm going to be 32 soon.
Okay.
Okay. So that's not a huge difference.
It's not. It's just 7 years.
We'll get into that.
The perfume thing. My wife does this too. My wife like uses perfume in scenario where I'm like, why are you using the perfume now? I'm the only one smelling you. And she's like, I've got to be on top of my game for my wife. I'm like, no, but I'm like fine with the way you smell normally.
Exactly. She's like, fixing the mic and she's like, did you spray the perfume? And I said, yes. The gayest thing I did this week, there's two things. One, I think will be the gayest thing ever said on this podcast. is that I did a collage of all of our cats and made us matching wallpapers.
Oh my God. Look at that. Wait.
If that's not it, I sent it to everyone. I hope more
that
than
is beautiful.
It's, I mean, the MoMA has been calling. They said, hang this up. We got to do an exhibition.
They should.
That is beautiful.
It's gorgeous. I mean, I was like, babe, we can get matching phone wallpapers with the cats.
You can get shirts.
I think we can get a whole thing. Blanket,
a comforter,
pillow,
yeah,
whole shebang. So
I think that would look beautiful on a comforter.
I think I need to redecorate the whole entire house. I'm shocked my sweater doesn't have my cats on it either. But other than that, I did go to Queer Garden. Do you guys know that party?
Yes. That was something else that I had to miss, unfortunately.
Yes, I love Queer Garden. I don't know if you guys recognize me, but I was the runner-up at the twerk competition last year for Pride. And let me tell you, lesbians are the most supportive people in the entire world. That I walked into this one, and it was the kickoff. It was Memorial Day. And I was recognized at the door. They said, aren't you?
Your face?
Which is offensive. And I was like, is it my body? But they were like, you're the girl in the pink outfit. You're like, oh my God, you're famous here. And I was like, what? And
wait, I saw that picture though. It's pretty
all
epic.
Over the webs. It's all over the webs. It's my most proud moment. I have my trophy still. The drag queens all signed it. Like I kiss it on the head every
time
I leave
the house. What
does the
trophy look like?
It's, should I get it? Let me go get it.
Yeah.
Right here. It's so small.
Love the Sharpie.
That's how that's really good quality stuff. I also want a vibrator. And I learned about myself that I would be the worst famous person in the world because I was strutting around this party just being like, thank you. People, they were not. To be fair, like a really, really hot lesbians, like one of them bowed down to me. My girlfriend was upset. And I was like, I'm sorry that I'm such a legend. I was so drunk by the end of it. I was like waiting in front of the DJ, just like thinking that she was just going to announce that I was here. Just like waiting for my name to be called. No, I'm mentally ill.
No, you need to come to Girls in Wonderland because there are several competitions throughout the weekend. You get on a big stage. They shout out the people from last year. There's the muff diving contest, which is eating a muffin out of your partner's groin region. And they brought back the reigning champions.
I'm ready to do it. So the twerk off is the one on the 26th this year, which the the head DJ and everyone already DM'd me and made sure that I was coming. And I said, I wouldn't miss it for the world. There's nothing that I would want.
Oh,
more.
That's still to come. The twerk contest.
Yeah. So I need to win first place this time. And to be fair, I'm a small white girl. Like, for me to win first is going to really take a lot out of my knees. It's going to take a lot out of my body. It's not a natural thing that I should be doing. In fact, I shouldn't be doing this. You know, my knees were black and blue for like an entire month last year from it.
Oh my God.
And they just played the one song. It was a 10-minute competition and started with like 15 people, then to two. It was just the Juvenile Back That Ass Up for 10 minutes, which is the most high energy song. Like, you're just like, na 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 na, like over and over again. It was, you know, it took a lot. And I had just like, I was being wild at that part. I had like, I think I just like brailed an Adderall out of, I don't know whose it was. And then they were like, you're signed up for the competition. And I said, absolutely. And it was the best line of my life.
Wow. So, that's so, on Pride Day too.
On Pride Day. Legend.
Wow. So your knees are already getting, you're going to be walking you go to things, you know.
I haven't twerked since that one. So that's, it put me out.
I'm so sad I'm going to miss this. I'm going to be out of town for a show. Okay. But tell listeners about Queer Garden, because I haven't been to one yet, but I've been wanting to go. I know it's the same people who put on Scope.
Yes, yes. They're a part of it. But it's the girls from Scope, and it's DJ Whitney Day.
Yes.
We love her. It's so hot. I'm like obsessed. So they're the ones that throw it. And then they usually do it at Tailgate in Williamsburg, which is like this huge outdoor venue. There's like cabanas, if you spend the money, you get a little cabana. And then there's like a VIP section. Last year, my girlfriend bought me a GA ticket and got herself a VIP. And
wow.
And I was like, we were separated. We can go in the same spot. And I said, if you don't fucking fix this right now, I'm leaving. I can't be taking pictures with
the
GA.
Did you break up?
I was so upset. I didn't let it go. And then one of our good friends, other hot lesbians, somebody had thrown away a bunch of VIP wristbands in the trash. And as my babe did, Hannah, she went in and she dumpster dive, got us all VIP bands. And then I just showed up in VIP and told my girlfriend, I said, look at me, bitch. Here I am.
What a hack. If you're going to a gay party this Pride, make sure you dumpster dive and look for those wristbands. Yeah.
You never know
what people are throwing away.
You never know.
Twerk your way over.
You got to twerk your way. But they have like fun games. There's like food trucks.
Tarot card readings, DJs, right?
There's tarot card readings. The Scope girls are there.
Tattoos.
I got a bunch of Scorpio tattoos on my tits. You know what I mean? It's a great time.
I will say this about girls in Wonderland, and I know like a lot of parties do this, but I feel like it's really irresponsible to have a truck giving out discount tattoos outside of a party where everybody's drinking all day, like permanent tattoos.
Oh, I've been to one of those. Everyone's bleeding all over the place because your blood is thin out from the alcohol, and
I've never gotten a sober tattoo. So that's like 100% my vibe. I would have been like, absolutely. You pick it, put it wherever you want. Like, that's like, I have no standards.
Get your mom's name.
I was trying to get a friend to go back in the pool with me, and they're like, can't, just got a tattoo. I'm like, what? Why?
I love that. I run a show at Ray's Bar, and they, for 420, they were giving out free tattoos, and like, I did it. And then like, when I went on stage, I showed everyone and I looked and it was just completely covered in blood. The audience was like, oh, are you okay? I was like, oh, it's bleeding. Forgive me. And I continued with my says if nothing happened.
Well, that's a great segue, actually. Ray's Bar. You run a show there.
I do.
Let's talk about it.
Yes. I run a show there. It's twice a month. The next one is tomorrow. And then I'm doing a full Pride one on the 22nd, Wednesday, the 22nd, which is going to be full of the hottest gays, girls, gay guys, all of the above, them, theys, everything. A whole nice. Crowd is there. It's going to be super fun. I've never been more excited about a lineup before. So I'm really excited for that one. And we do it in the basement. So it's like super sexy. And I love it. Yeah. It's called Hot and Bothered.
Yes.
Yeah.
With Yemi, right?
With Yemi. Yeah.
Great comic. Let's talk about Ray's Bar. Do you ever see an owner there? An owner in particular? Cousin Greg's Bar. Some people call it that from Succession.
Literally people call it that. And I honestly think like the show is always filled up with like the hottest, like 21-year-old straight girls.
Just trying to see.
They're all here. I know they're all here trying to find Justin Thoreau and Cousin Greg, which I don't know his name. I think it's like Nicholas Braun. Yeah. They're all trying to see him there. They've never came, but everyone always says, oh, you have like a celebrity based show. And I said, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
What a great
but
strategy.
I know that they do come like every once in a while and like Cousin Greg like go behind the bar and then like just bother the whole staff. But like,
yeah.
Whatever. But I do see celebrities there. They do have celebrities there. Dua Lipa was there one night that I had a show and I was like, that's so fucked up. Like, it's my night. Yeah. I told the door guys, like, absolutely not. She's not allowed in. Like, not tonight. But she's there. She was there. She's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. I got to get to one. On the 22nd, fly 22nd. Back in that day from Chicago.
You come to
maybe
the show.
Maybe I scoot right there.
Just scoot in. You'll be on my guest list.
Yeah, me and not Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Dua Lipa's not allowed. She's not allowed. I can't share that attention.
So you have a 25-year-old girlfriend.
I do.
You keep calling her your 25-year-old girlfriend. You would think that the age difference was like... Yeah.
You would think it's okay, dramatic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's super hot, butch, big titty. I love her so much. We live together. We've been living together for like... since December.
Beautiful.
It's great.
Wait, is she the you were on a break with
her? Yeah.
And she's the one who got the GA ticket for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is the one. This is the same one. She's
we almost really love each other.
We really love each other. It's so gorgeous. We have three cats together, so you know, our family is big.
Did you get the cats while you were together?
No. Like it was
combining.
We've combined.
It's a Brady Bunch. Okay.
Yeah, it's a Brady Bunch. There's one next to me now. They don't get our cats like did not get along. They still kind of don't get along. It's an absolute nightmare. One of them.
They're lesbian cats.
They're lesbian.
Yeah.
Well, two of them are gay. They literally kiss on the mouth.
They're exes. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
That's
I think
why they kiss on the mouth.
I think the bitch, like the mean one, like I think she's just like a mean straight girl.
Okay.
Like she's she's like creating all this tension in this house. Like it's always her. So
I love you have a joke about your 25-year-old girlfriend not understanding monogamy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Let's
on our third date, she was like, oh, I just like wanna let you know that I'm poly. And I immediately started sobbing. I started sobbing. I said, no, I can't do this again. I had like just came out of an open relationship. It was so bad and so traumatizing to me because obviously like I didn't want it. And I like had said yes to keep it going. And
no.
I was basically just like open. It was like an open field cheating day every single day. And like every day I was like, where are they going? Like if I'm not there, then it's an opportunity for someone else to swoop in. And like, it just like destroyed my brain. Mm-hmm. I'm not a strong enough person. I'm not shitting on open and poly stuff. Like, dude, if you are capable, that's sick. I'm telling
it's a lot
you,
of work.
I am a child of abandonment, of abuse. I am not.
Yes.
I am not mentally strong enough to understand that you would want someone else and still love me. Like it does not process in my brain. Like every single day I wake up and I think that I'm going to be forgotten about by every single person I know. Like, I can't.
That's a thing. You're just like my girlfriend. Every time I bring up the idea of polyamory, she bursts into tears.
Like talking about other people.
Other people. Like when Carolyn and her wife opened their marriage, my girlfriend spiraled out of control.
Yeah, I'm spiraling just right
because
now.
Because Carolyn might influence me. You're spiraling. You guys are very similar. And it is that abandonment issue, parents neglecting. A lot of like children with alcoholic parents are kind of adverse to that.
But my wife also had abandonment issues. And that's why I thought like we would never be open. But, you know, she's just like, I'll meditate. It'll be great. Like, I can do this. I will get over these issues to be able to have more sexy fun times.
But you guys have been together for a while, right?
We have. And I feel like I don't know if I could go. I mean, yeah, like previously I'd only been monogamous and it would be hard to imagine like just meeting someone new and having that trust there, because I feel like so much of it, you have to really trust the person. When you start seeing someone, that trust isn't there. So that's interesting to me that people can do that. The only reason that it was even like on the table for us was that like I trust my wife so much and I feel so secure in our marriage that I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm not bothered by it.
That's like, that's the important part. So like okay, I'm going to get so much shit, I'm sure. But like, if you go straight out of the gate and want to be open, then I don't think there's really a connection there. I think you guys like each other and enjoy your company, but you're still looking for someone else. But I think that if you've been together for a while, and mind you, this comes from somebody, I've never had a long relationship. I'm not a relationship girl. And not because it was a choice. Like I always get dumped and like, it's like, I don't know what it's like to have that kind of stability and such a good foundation and all those things. And I feel like I have that with my partner now. And I am sure that like in 10 years or 5 years or whatever, if we're still in such a good place and we have a conversation again, I'm not against it. I'm not against it, but like, I need to know, like I need our foundation to be absolutely indestructible. I can't have like my ex was like, it was like 1 month in, oh, by the way, I think I want to be open. And I was like, Mir, you hate me, you know? So that's like where it is. Like, I like, give us time to be us, like, let's have our relationship. And then we can talk about, you know, fucking other people. And like, I'd be down too. Like, I think I would be more comfortable with like swinger stuff because it's like, it's a thing you're doing together versus a thing you're doing individually. That could be like a baby step for me. I hope she never listens to this, babe. This is not okay. None of this would be okay.
You said she does listen to this.
I know. She's
podcast.
A huge fan of the pod. She's a huge fan of the pod. Just block her from this episode.
Just skip it.
Yeah. It sucks, babe. This episode sucks. Just fast forward. Start at minute 25.
25-year-old girlfriend, she tells you that she's poly, and then you're like, that's not okay with me. And then she was like, cool, I'm willing to be monogamous.
She said it was like a big thing, and then like, you know, when she had told me, she was also like talking to another girl who I knew, and I absolutely spiraled out of control. And I was like, I can't do this again. Like it was too fresh for me. Like I couldn't even believe that somebody else was like, by the way, I was like, I just want to die. Like, and then, but we had the conversation and like, she was genuine about it. And I was like, I don't want you to do something that's going to make you feel trapped or uncomfortable either. You know, so like, as long as this is like a constant clear communication, like, and it did really fuck with me for the first like 6 months, I would say, until we did break up and went on a break for like a month, and probably because of it, because I was still in my head, I was just thinking, yeah, she's absolutely talking to somebody else. Like she's at like a fucking psychopath. And then like, I really had to have the conversation with myself. Like, you know, do you want to be with this person or not? Like this is literally giving you everything to have in your, like everything for me to know that I am in a safe place, you know, but it takes time. Those things take time.
Yeah. I wonder too, it does feel like so many people who are in like their early 20s and queer, just kind of like default to being poly now. It's maybe people who wouldn't have been poly otherwise, but then it's just like everybody that they're seeing is poly, so it's like, okay, I guess I'm poly too.
It could be.
You know, where it's
Yeah, they're not getting married or focused on getting married by like 25.
Be.
It makes sense
that they would be. Yeah. And that's another of my insecurities too. I was like, when I was 25, I was a whore and I had the best time and I was partying all the time. I did absolutely nothing for my career. And here I am now. Like, and and so I think about that too. And I think like, oh my God, you shouldn't be in a serious relationship. Like you shouldn't. And I, so like, I do have to like bite my tongue and let her party and come home at 6 a.m. even if I don't join, because like, I cannot handle it. But like, you know, like I have to, because I don't want her to like look back in 10 years and be like, I wasted my entire, my prime, you know,
right. Yeah.
On being like a boring monogamous girl for Flora. Like I would hate that if I felt like I was that person for her.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Oh my God. There's nothing boring about monogamy.
There's nothing boring about monogamy. Like, I'm I have 100 different personalities. I'm basically meant for a poly person. Every day, you don't know what you're going to get. Scorpio.
Scorpio. Yes.
Scorpio, Gemini Rising.
Oh, the titty tats. Yes, yes, yes.
Titty tats,
Gemini Rising. Gemini Rising, and then my Gemini girlfriend. I'm finding a lot of similarities. A
lot of similarities.
So you said that you always get broken up with. Why? What's your crazy? What are you doing?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Let's get into it.
I don't think anyone would be like, Flora, mentally stable. Like, nobody would say that. Not a single person would say that. I'm such an intense, high anxiety, emotional disaster, and like incredibly insecure, not like physically insecure, but like truly like me as a person. Like I have a trouble thinking that like my presence is okay, you know, and that's like, you know, childhood abuse and all that dark stuff. So yeah. Like, I'm like every single day, it's like, you have to deal with me. I feel like I've always felt like I'm somebody that someone has to deal with. And like, I can understand that that's like too much, you know, obviously you have to do a lot of work on yourself if you want to be in a healthy relationship. And then like, right. I mean, also the people that I dated, I'm not saying that they were angels. So yeah. They were also pieces of shit and they also cheated on me and also not ready to be in relationships as much as I want to blame myself, because like I always do. Like they were definitely not good to me. So
Right. Know. Just because you're on one end of the breakup doesn't mean that it's not that the other person was like a saint and you were the problem or anything.
I was just curious
like if it's a pattern though. It's like are you like, were you seeking out people?
The
same kind of person and falling into the same.
Absolutely. And you know, when I was younger, I dated men only, and I when I came out pretty late. And when I realized that I was not straight, it was because I was like, I think that like I was longing for this male attention because of like fucked up shit with my dad.
And then here for it.
And we're here for it. And like, I needed to know that these men would love me, but when I was with them, I would feel nothing. And I would get so scared of myself. And I would, you know, I had a lot of suicide issues and all those things because I was like, I feel nothing all the time and I don't get it. But like, it was absolute passion of mine to get these men to think that I am the best thing in the entire world, that they are absolutely in love with me. And it was for nothing. It was like an ego. It was like a mission that I needed. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Verbatim. This is what Allie says. This is me and Allie, fascinating.
We go way back.
We got to hang out.
We go way back. So I just like that. And then as soon as like, I started being with women, I was just like, oh my God, I'm so happy. It's so crazy. Like it was so significant. And like, I'm bringing that up because my type was like anyone who didn't want me.
I would
get wet for that and be like, you hate me, I'm gonna change your life, like, and then I would just cry all the time.
Patterns.
That's what
forming.
I mean about wet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Man,
the only squirting I do is through my eyes.
Oh my God.
And that's the title of the episode.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Title of ep.
Yeah.
Squirting through my eyes.
Squirting through my eyes. It's my biography.
I feel very thankful that my daddy issues did not manifest into me wanting attention from men and instead was just like, oh, I hate men. Like, get out. I don't even want to look at you on the street. I like to be in spaces that are, you know, women, non-binary, queer. But that thing of going after people who you feel like don't like you, like my first long-term, like really toxic relationship with somebody who, when I first met them, like I was convinced they hated me. I felt like they were such a bitch to me. And I'm like, this is my first love.
This is like, we're in love. Like,
emotionally
unavailable.
Yeah.
That was me. And mine manifested into, I hate men too. Like violently, like just always ready to scream at a man, just like all my friends' boyfriends never wanted me around, just vicious. Then I would still seek their attention somehow sexually, like hated them as individuals, but like still it was like a lot of hate fucking.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's because I'm so broken in my little brain that like, you know, like a lot of people, you know, like you guys got mad at these men, you know, and instead for me, like I'm the type of person if someone's like, I hate you, Flora, you suck. And I'll be like, absolutely, I do suck. Like, I believe it. I'm not somebody that's like motivated by an insult. Like, I don't like that kind of like motivation does not work for me. Like, I would be like, they're absolutely right. I am the stupidest person here. And so like, that's why my attention was in that way. I was like, I need their attention. Like it's me. Like I have to keep being better, you know? So it's like, it's messed up. But I do think with lesbians, like we all in different kinds, like my girlfriend is super butch and I'm the opposite. And we both crave male attention in a completely different way. Like her way of getting male attention is that like her biggest thing is like, she has to be one of the boys.
Yes.
Has to be one of the boys. So like when
she
goes out.
No, a lot of lesbians like that.
Yeah. And you know, my girlfriend's on like this, like she wants to get top surgery and you know, like she's very much on that side. And I think like, it's also problematic in a way where she goes out with a bunch of dudes and like, you know, has to drink as much as these dudes and just be a fucking dude. Like I literally, sometimes I'm like, okay, I guess you're a boy today. And you're a completely different person. Like, it's like this weird, like proving matter. And versus like mine, I have the same kind of attention with men proving something else though, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just all, it's all fucked up. It's all society's fault.
Abolish men.
Abolish men.
Abolish cis men. I don't know, man.
It's weird, but like whether it's like through a love way or a hate way, like we all kind of just like subconsciously crave the stupid attention.
Yeah.
It sucks. Life without it would be fantastic.
I know. I always forget I'm bi. Like just now, for 10 minutes, I forgot I was bi. And I was like, yeah, I hate them. And yeah. I would fight them. And for some reason, I wanted their attention because I'm a bisexual. God damn it.
No, it's all fucked up.
So your parents are both French?
Yeah. So my mom grew up in France, but she is of Spaniard descent. My grandparents are from Spain. My uncles and stuff are all from Spain, but she was just born in Nice. And my birth father, and that's what we call the fathers that we don't love, is also from the south of France, from Provence, like your dad, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they just brew him up over there or what?
So my dad, he's originally from Besançon, but like they moved around a bunch.
Besançon. But my father lives in Los Angeles, and now he has a new family and stuff.
He has a family.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I know. I see their Facebook sometimes. He has a son. So I was supposed to be born as a boy. They didn't know I was going to be. I'm a twin. I have a twin sister, but we're fraternal. We're in separate eggs. So they thought I was a boy and my sister was a girl.
Ah.
So that my name was supposed to be Luca, and then I was born, and then they were like, "Oh, oops, Flora." And then my sister was Margot, but my father named his new son Luca.
Weird at all.
No, it wasn't weird. It didn't affect me at all. They have a cute little family. They have like cats and they have like matching glasses. It's cute.
Did you go over to France a lot growing up or?
I did a little bit. Yeah. I did visit my birth father's family when I was really younger and they were so rude to me. They were like, look at this American. Everything I would do would be like, look at your American hats and look at your American. I was like, pretty sure I got this hat here. It's just like, felt like I remember, you know, they're like country French. They live like in the country. Yep. And like, so yep. they kill the rabbits and then they eat the rabbit and like, it's all in front of you. And like, I love eating rabbit, but I also love rabbits. And I was like, really like sensitive to that stuff. I'm a huge animal person. Like obviously when you're a kid that was very neglected, like my thing was like my sister and I loved animals and like, we didn't even play with dolls. We played with like cat mice, you know, that was like our thing. So animals are my life. Like I communicate more with animals than I do with people. And then, so they were like killing the rabbits that I had like spend the day playing with in the yard in the country. And then like, they also cooked like the shrimp, but it was my first time. I was a kid. I was like literally 8 and they still had the eyeballs on the shrimp. And I said, the shrimp is too cute. I can't eat this little shrimp. And then that was it. I mean, they just absolutely destroyed me for being sad that the shrimp had cute little eyes. Mind you, I love a shrimp. I will scarf down 10 cocktail shrimp. It's not a problem. But it was my first time seeing their eyes.
Yeah, no, they love keeping the eyes on the shrimp down there.
They keep they keep the eyes on everything.
The eyes, the antennas. Yeah, they want you to experience it all.
Yeah.
My family used to make jokes about how much like peanut butter we ate and then be like, oh, those American girls and their peanut butter.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like, okay. And I see them using ketchup. So.
Yeah, I'm like, you're eating mayo. Like Nutella for breakfast every day. Why is peanut butter weird?
Yeah.
It's French people.
It's those French people. But then my mom's side of the family, I love, even though they're all absolutely psychotic, but I'm very close in age to my cousins and they all live in Paris and stuff. So we've definitely all partied together.
Nice.
All those things. Yeah.
Let's talk about your mom. I just know what I know from your stand-up. Oh, yeah. She seems like a character.
My mom is a wild goose. She's a silly little goose. My mom, absolute ally, rebel.
Ally.
My mom's bisexual as well. And my mom was kicked out of the house when she was 14 years old. So my mom's been homeless since she was 14. And I always like laugh at that. I'm like, can you imagine being like homeless on the streets of Paris? Like, I was like, what was she doing? Like, it still sounds gorgeous, you know? But it wasn't. Like, I know she got beat up a lot and stuff, but she moved to LA when she was 21. So like in the 80s. And she just like did drugs with all the gays. She partied hard. She was there for the AIDS pandemic. So our house, I always remember growing up was like, all the gays that were dying, we would just, my mom would just take them in and house them, make sure they you know, had their nice life, like the end of their nice life there. So we very Holy much had shit. A very like gay, open, like, in fact, like if I was fully straight, like, I think like I would have been kicked out of the family. Like none of us are allowed to be straight. Like ever since I was like five, my mom's like, you can date girls too, you know? And I'm like, okay. And it made me so uncomfortable. Like I, in my set, I make the joke of like that I came out so late because I was rebelling against her. Yeah. So I was sucking dicks just to rebel. But yeah, so I feel very blessed. I grew up in like a home, like, even though she's absolutely psychotic and it was like being raised by a child, but like, I love her. I love her very much. But like all my uncles, my quote fake uncles are all just the gay boys. Like all my uncles are just random gay boys. And like, I love them. I love that. I love our open house and it's nice. And my sister's transgender. So it was very comfortable for her to come out with that too in this house, which is like really refreshing to hear. Cause I know that that's not the case for like 90% of people. So
yeah.
Yeah, like my girlfriend, her family is Southern Baptist priests, pastors. I don't know anything about religion.
Me neither.
I was like Southern, and like they come up, she told them that we lived together and they flew up to New York immediately. It was the first partner they've ever met. And they were very kind. And I was talking 1,000 miles a minute because I didn't let them get a word in. But at the end of it, they still ended it with like, if you guys really love each other, she should give me the book of Jesus. And I was like, okay, well, that was nice for the moment. So my mom I feel very fortunate to have my mom, but like my mom, like she's like, my mom works for Gayborhood. She works for the Gay Yellow Pages. She's like, she's the one, she texted me the other day. She goes, look, I have a transgender wristband. Do you want one? And it's like, it's like a rainbow wristband. I was like, I don't need that, mom. She's like, oh, it's for transgender people. I was like, I know, but I don't need to wear one. I'm full support. Like, wait, you know, your sister is going through surgery and it'd be nice if you wore that. I was like, that's not what she wants. I will tell you right now. Every day. So sending her, she's always like, do you need a rainbow this? Do you need a rainbow that?
Yes.
And you're just like,
the alley parallels.
I know. I'm just, I think you've heard some of those jokes maybe about my girlfriend's
her
family.
Southern family.
Yeah. With the rainbow shit. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, and they gave me a
trans shirt.
Yeah.
Trans pride shirt. And I wasn't sure if an ally could wear it. It was a whole thing.
I love it. Even though your mom is bi, she's also truly an ally. During Pride Month, I like to, when I'm doing stand-up shows, ask if there are allies in the audience, and whoever woos, I put them on the spot. I'm like, prove it. And nobody says anything. Nobody has. Yesterday, somebody like literally hid after I said prove it.
Ooh,
and
that's,
she had
not
nothing to
the
say.
Answer, but what is an acceptable answer on the spot?
If you don't know, give me money.
I will say though, it's like saying, you know, like, oh, are there any white people allies to BLM? And then they're like, yeah, I went to the protest. Like, you still kind of roll your eyes. So it's like, what would you want them to be like? I wear a rainbow.
It's a trap. It's a trap for straight people. I'm just trying to make straight
and
people uncomfortable.
And we love to trap them. We love it.
Alicia Brown brought Allie on stage and was like giving her credits and was like, and she's truly the only white person I like. Give it up for Allie Clayton. And they hugged. And Allie got up and was like, hell yeah, we marched together. Okay. We linked arms and marched together. Like making fun of herself because everyone got so uncomfortable. But
that's
her making
hilarious.
Fun of white women marching really helped loosen them back up.
I love that.
In LA.
In LA.
So your mom was a family hag. We love it.
It is the biggest.
The twin. What's going on with the twin?
The twin. So I have a twin sister. She was the first one to have a girlfriend, but she's straight. She said it wasn't for me, but she was the first one. She had a girlfriend when we were 14. But she's straight. My sister was in a car accident though. She's quadriplegic. She's on a wheelchair.
Oh my God.
So that's how you can tell us apart. She's sitting. It's hard to tell on the pod, but in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Have you started writing a movie about your life?
I want to so bad. I want to have a show. I want to have a series.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, for my sister too, you know, like if you're a disabled actor, which she is, the roles that you're going out for are like disability roles. Like, why can't it just be like a normal person that's just like can't walk and like just have a normal life? Like, it doesn't have to be about it. But I mean, also like my sister will make it about that. Like, there's not a second that my sister's around normal people. And she says that she says normal.
She says normal people.
She says normal people, not me. And she goes, look at these bunch of normals over here. And then she has to like say something to make them feel really uncomfortable, which like I love. Yeah. I love, but, and it's true, like people act so weird around people with disabilities because they are uncomfortable. And it's the same way that like a white person is at the protest and a straight person is at like, you know, any and Pride Month, but like they like feel the need to say something nice to her all the time. And I know that Melody knows I have like a whole bit about I'm sick and tired of people being extra nice to people with disabilities because my sister's still a cunt. Like, we don't, you don't be nice to her, but they've,
I used to have a joke about my aunt like that, who's mentally ill, but she really is like
just mean,
terrorizes the family. Yeah. And like, you know that she knows better in most situations, but like that bit would not go over well. I'm like, okay, I'm not selling it. I'm not selling it that my disabled aunt is.
It's hard for me to sell it, but it's one of my favorite jokes that I do. So like, I just commit, but there's always, sometimes some audiences are like, ooh, I'm like, she's not here. But I did do.
Because you say cunt, you call her a cunt.
I call her a cunt. But like, what I hope people are getting is like, the whole bit is that like, you know, with twins, my thing is like our competition within each other, you know, that she's better than me at everything. My sister's always been successful. So like the bit is that like, she's still better than me and she's quadriplegic, like she's still winning. And I don't know if people get that a lot, but I did do a show once in LA and I was a very new comic then. And I had this bit, but it wasn't as worked out. And right before I went on stage, it was a very small room. It was like Burbank Comedy Festival. And they cleared out the room and then they brought somebody in who was her disability was higher in the neck range. So my sister is a C3, C4. So it's a little lower. So it means like a little bit of wrist, but lower. But this person was like high up, like with a straw to blow the chair to move.
Right.
And put them right in front with the whole family. And my opening bit at the time was, we have to stop being so nice to people with disabilities. And I absolutely panicked. I absolutely panicked. And the thing is that I know for a fact that that woman would have laughed. Like, that woman would have been like, thank you. Like, somebody like making a norm. I mean, like, my sister will sometimes, she'll wear a jean jacket and people are like, well, I love that jacket. What is it? Denim? It's like, we all have a jean jacket.
You have to say something.
They just have to say something. They always go, oh, they look at her feet a lot. And then they're always like, oh my God, great shoes. Great shoes. And we're like, I know what you're doing.
Because that's why I was looking that's direction. That's why
I
was looking.
I just wanted to see your feet.
Man.
But yeah, people are ridiculous. And like, I'm like, so not like that. I'm like, just, I treat everyone, maybe I'm like not sensitive enough. I think maybe that's my problem, but like, I'll curse my sister out. I don't care. She's we fight all the time. And then sisters. When we fight like sisters, we fight hardcore. Like, like we're going to say in front of people, the meanest things that we could say that would absolutely shatter everything you have inside. And we'll say that. And then like, because she's handicapped, people are like, Flora, you're so mean. I'm like, did you not hear what she said to me? But then like, I'm the asshole because like, I'm cursing out somebody on a wheelchair in public. So,
I got some shit because in the L Word Generation Q, Sophie's sister is disabled, but she's also a terrible sister. And I kept being like, this character sucks. She's gaslighting Micah.
Yeah.
She's like fucking has no loyalty to her sister. And people are like, why are you being so harsh? She's like,
every time we
ground.
Made a joke I'm at like, our watch parties about
I'm like,
that.
I'm not, I know everybody got
everyone
so uncomfortable.
Tightens up. Yeah.
I'm like, look, I'm not denying that it's important to have this representation on screen or anything. It's like, great, but the character is not a saint. The
bitch.
Character sucks.
But that's the thing, is like,
which is great,
everyone in the show sucks.
They're all mean. Let them suck.
They're all mean. I mean, I would still 100% have sex with Shane, but like, whatever. I want her to be mean to me. I want her to never call me again and be like, please trigger my issues, please. We love it. I'm trying to get on the show. Hi.
Gen Q.
The new neighbor. He's just introducing myself. Oh yeah, I think I'm gay. Weird.
We're recording this, so we're just going to send this directly to Showtime. That's your audition.
Like, they need a new Jenny. Wait, what was her name? The original?
Jenny.
Jenny.
They I could do need a new Jenny.
Jenny.
Thank you.
Not great, but I would swoop in there. Be like, hello, I'm the neighbor.
Agree to disagree. I think Jenny was great, but I think I can see you as new Jenny, and I think that that's the problem, is they don't have the chaos.
They don't have the
Jenny
chaos.
Schechter, and they can see that you can bring the chaos. Oh, yeah, and definitely. I love you for that.
They need the mental instability. They need it more. Everyone's already older and figured out their problems.
Speaking of hot, unstable people, so you roll with a crew of hot lesbians.
I do. I know. They're all really hot. It's so
weird. We all have hot lesbian friends, but I was looking at your pictures. Yeah. Something about what's going on with your group. Is it the youth? Are they all Gen Z? What's happening?
What's going on? Why are they all so hot? Where do you hang out?
I am the oldest in the group. I will say that. Okay. And I don't bring it up ever. I'm just kidding. I bring it up every 5 minutes. I met them all with my partner. They're all mainly my partner's friends, and most of them we've met together. A lot of them we met at Pride last year, and they've just became like lifelong friends.
Love it.
But yeah, we have a married couple in the group, Jordan and Audrey. They're so freaking hot. It's like a joke. Like,
I've already stalked them.
Yeah.
Really?
it's like almost fake to me. Like, I'm just like, they're not real people. Like they should be the cover of Tampa Bay's. Like, they should be like, they're like, they're like every straight guy's wet dream of what lesbians like look like, which is right. Like, yeah, they're just like so smoking, and they're tattooed from like neck down, and just
they're perfect Joshua Tree wedding.
Oh, their wedding is like their
Carol,
wedding. Their wedding
pulling
is
them
posted
up.
For right. Pull them up right now. Like, they're hot, and then the more of the studs in the group are also like smokes, like so right. Hot and young and cool. And like, they're all so smart. And I just like, I love my friends so much. They're so brilliant. Like, they just, I don't know. They're just very impressive to me. And one of our girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Is that Jordan or Audrey?
Audrey.
Oh, that's Audrey. Yeah. That's my baby. So she's the closest in age to me. It was her birthday for Memorial Day. So we were celebrating her 30th at the Queer Garden.
Amazing.
But she's my baby girl. And they moved here last year from Austin. She's in law school, so she's going to be a lawyer. Hot gay lawyers, baby.
Brooklyn Bays, where are you?
That's what I'm
we
saying.
Need this.
We got the gay lawyers, the hot lesbian lawyers who are tatted up. Like, I just like the whole thing to me is just brilliant. And then there's another girl in our group, Emily. Like, she's basically like running the financial game in the stock, like in New York. She has like a crazy head job for Bank of America or some shit. Like, and she's like the most like wild, like unhinged one, which is like the irony in that is to me is like even better. And then there's, you know, me and my partner is like a smoke show hot, like butch 25-year-old bartender. Like, she bartends at really hot bars, and like every time I've come to visit to work, some girl has jumped the bar to try to kiss her.
And if you where does she bartend?
She works and in Williamsburg. Before that, she was at Georgia Room.
And if you don't think what?
And if you don't think that didn't help with my mental insecurities, the one time I walk in there and there's this fucking bitch jumping the bar, I called security. I said, you can't have somebody doing that. I was furious. So now every time I go visit her at work, I just like have one eye like at the bar and then like the other eye with my friends. So I'm just like such a psycho bitch.
You're just always there. I mean, I just looked at your Instagram stories, and you are at the bar.
I am there.
She is behind it. Yep.
She picked up a shift at that Georgia room where that happened. And it was for Valentine's Day. So I went and was waiting at the side of the bar to the point where her manager went up to her and was like, your girlfriend really doesn't like you working here, does she? It's like, absolutely not.
Was it something her face said?
She's just, yeah. And like, she's like, I don't know. She's so gorgeous and like everything. And she's like, has this I don't know. I feel like for straight girls, like, cause it's always a straight girl who jumps the bar. It's
right.
Never,
right.
It's never a gay girl because like, that's insane.
Right.
But they think they do it. Like, and I think for her, like they know for sure that she's gay, you know, obviously she's more butch. And I think like, they're like, this is going to be my first experience. Like, this is the girl that I want. I feel like she has that energy that straight girls want to lose their virginities to, you know, that's like the vibe that she gives off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
wow.
It worked on me, but I'll kill everyone. don't come to that bar.
Yeah, we should bleep out the bar name.
Yeah, bleep them out. Just bleep them out. But yeah, she's a cutie. But yeah, my girlies are hot. And then there's another couple I've recently met, but they're good friends with Audrey and Jordan. Her partner is a pro skateboarder. She's so fucking hot. And I'm like obsessed with them. And another one of our girls, they are a pro basketballer in Spain. And this bitch showed up at Queer Garden with the hottest like girl. Then her name is Laura, but somebody had said Laura because she's from Spain, España. And then Dominic goes like, it's actually pronounced Laura. And I said, get out of here, coming back from Spain with your basketball, coming with this like a beautiful blonde Spaniard woman, like correcting us. It's Laura. I said, Dominic, get the fuck out of here. But yeah, it's just a really hot bunch of like, they all like impress me all the time.
And where do you guys go out in New York? what are the spots? What are the cool spots that the hotties are at?
I probably don't go out as much, but like we definitely go to all the Scope parties. Here's my plug for Scope.
Yeah,
we definitely go all the Scope parties. I love those girls. I love them. Queer Gardens. The younger girls in the group go to the Woods a lot.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. I'm so funny. The other day, another Wednesday, some random person texts me like, are you at the Woods? And I go, I was not at the Woods. But I was like cackling that somebody would just think that like, oh, that must be Flora. Like she's at the Woods. It's lesbian night. Like it's a brunette. It must be Flora. But they go to the Woods a lot. The $3 bill we love.
Yes.
But yeah, we honestly, like what we do the most is like my girlfriend and I have like poker nights at the house, gay poker nights. We invite all the gays. We love house parties. We're house party people.
Love it. Okay. This is good because we've been getting a lot of emails asking, I think a lot of dykes are coming out to New York for Pride Month.
Oh, hell yeah.
Asking where to go. So
yeah, there's a lot of things for Pride for like lesbians in particular. I forgot there was something the other day that somebody sent to me. I think it might be the same DJ that does Queer Garden, DJ Whitney Day.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, follow DJs, actually. Yeah. That's a good hack.
Yeah.
Follow DJs. Follow Scope Tonight. Follow Dyke Beer is constantly posting like different queer happenings going on. And there is no shortage of gay stuff to do during Pride.
You can come to my house. I'm going to put the address in. Just bleep it out.
Yes.
Yeah. When are we hanging out?
You guys are coming over. You're gonna come to gay poker night.
Yes.
We don't play with real money because
I don't know how to play poker.
I just learned.
I love that you have gay poker night. You guys are the L word. You guys
are
the
L word.
I'm getting Amazon on the phone right now. We are making this series happen. Well, we need to wrap up, but we do have one more question for you.
Yeah, we gotta know. Flora, what is the one thing from straight culture you would like to appropriate? Snatch it up.
Yeah. Okay. The first thought that just came to mind, because I did not think about this question the entire set, but since we're talking about daddy issues, I think like, I want to be the daddy. I want to be the daddy and I want to leave the family. I want that to be a thing because they stay together, they parent together forever.
Right.
Let's normalize walking out on the family, okay?
Yes.
Deadbeat.
People with
dykes.
Gay parents need trauma too, okay?
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, we need to protect gay marriage so we can have these marriages happen in the first place. Have a few years under the belt, gay divorce, deadbeat dyke.
Deadbeat dyke. That's the name of my other book.
I think I'm going to be a deadbeat dyke to my embryo. Is that, does that
yeah.
count?
And that's
that
what I'm talking about.
According to Republicans, yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
That is a bebe.
Put it on a hat. All right. well, Flora, where should people follow you on social media?
Yeah, sure.
On Instagram, you can follow me at Flora Manon _ because there's another Flora Manon that has one followers and zero posts.
We'll kill her.
Do I report her Instagram on a regular basis? Absolutely.
I'm dying to report.
I'm dying to get that handle. But it's Flora Manon _. I run a comedy show called hotandbothered.comedy. You can follow me on there and come to my June 22nd show at Hot and Bothered.
Yes.
At Ray's. It's my pride show. It's going to be the gayest show in the planet. It's going to be so sexy. Watch, nobody comes. Well, someone's coming.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. This has been so fun. Everybody, you know you can follow us at Dyking Out everywhere. You can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
I'm at Melody Kamali.
We both have a bunch of shows happening this month. So yeah, make sure you're following all of us. Follow comedians you like, because that's where they're posting, what they're doing. None of us update our websites anymore.
No.
Okay?
It's expired.
Updated it since before the pandemic. Yep. So check us out.
No Give idea how to follows. Use the calendar. No idea. No.
Thank you. This has been
a PSA and a very fun episode of Dyking Out. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.